Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We haven't been doing much of anything for the last week.
We're back! We're still here.
And I mean, technically, we've been here. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. In case you have forgotten about us, Mike Golic Jr., two-time WNBA All-Star Jhené Egbuemeke here. Thank you to everyone who subscribed and checked out the podcast while we were away.
It was a little wild.
Who knew an hour of us unfiltered might get us in a bit of trouble in this situation? And we look forward to, because now we are back, and it feels like we have all of the sports rushing back in on us at once as we do one show this week and then get back to the weekend. But how have you been, Jhené? Like, we go through this week, we usually have this outlet here for 3 hours every day, and we've kind of missed all this.
So, you know, we've come up with the official show motto. I know we call our show the secret sauce of ESPN Radio, but reality-wise, Monday through Thursday, we working, and on Friday, we twerking. That should go on our show t-shirt. But what happens when we don't work Monday through Thursday?
What happens is we still twerk on Friday. That's the only part.
Facts.
That's the binding agreement here. We've found out that the work in Monday through Thursday is up for negotiation, apparently, especially when, shout out to Major League Baseball's postseason. We will talk in a little bit to Los Angeles Dodgers manager Dave Roberts, who's going to join us here on Jhené and Golic Jr. We got a lot of exciting guests to get here to today. So we're going to come back and we're going to start working immediately. And then at 7 o'clock Eastern, we're going to clock out and we're going to go back to not working again in all of this. But not working right now, Jhené, as we dive full on back into all of this, are the New York Jets right now. They got sent home earlier today from their facility after a player was retested to see if he was indeed positive for COVID-19. There was a Friday presumptive positive test, according to a source. That player being retested, still waiting to see what the results are there, but players and personnel were sent home on this one. Still no word, according to the last I heard from our own Diana Russini at this point, that they're running PCR tests right now. The Jets have a lab nearby the practice facility, and she said she learned that even if it turns out to be a positive, it doesn't necessarily mean that the NFL will adjust the game. We'll know more soon. So, Jhené, yet another case of this. We talked about this a lot with the Titans the other day, but now the Jets appear to be in on this as well.
So now seeing that this is not just something that is happening to one team, it seems like it's something that's happening to multiple teams in real time. It brought up the conversation we had on our podcast, Jhené and Golic Jr. podcast, where there's so many different mixed emotions when it comes to these things, right? There's forfeiture being thrown around for the first time this week in a league memo. Possibility. Not saying that it's likely, because you'd have to do something completely, you know, egregious to sort of receive a forfeit. The idea that potentially the playoffs could come not on wins and losses like we've seen throughout the 100-year history of the NFL, but on possibly win percentage, which seems like that errs on the side of those teams being a little bit reckless, meaning, oh, I didn't have to forfeit, you know, like we still are in the mix where if we don't have that game, our percentage, as long as it's high, it's good. Like, there are a lot of mixed emotions, and I think a lot of people realize that probably the worst part of this all is the teams that are doing well still are hurt because they're not playing a game, their schedules is a little messed up, and their paycheck is lighter as well.
Yeah, all of these things starting to play in and become a factor in all of this. We know the schedule already been altered some this week. We now have two Monday night football games coming up on the 12th. Denver at New England, Los Angeles, the Chargers at the New Orleans Saints. And then Tuesday night, that Buffalo Bills and Tennessee Titans right now slated for there. So lots of moving parts in all this, Jhené, and you're right. The thing that I still can't get over in a lot of this was the notion that had that game truly been put into forfeiture, had the Titans been forced to give that one up to the Bills, there was still talk that if they didn't play that week, the Bills players wouldn't be getting paid. All of these questions that I feel like, and you know this, as someone who had to plan and help plan as part of the WNBA PA for a league to come back, that I can't believe the Players Association allowed to go in writing.
Yeah, that's a hard pill to swallow, knowing that you made the decision to play. We talk about a lot of these players, even the Patriots, who chose to opt out. And so the ones that chose to play and also were abiding by the rules, and now another team was acting a little bit reckless, and you still can play, even I was saying, I was joking, like, shoot, I would have still showed up at the arena, showed up at the stadium. Mm-hmm. We should have, you know, switched jerseys, and I would have been out there like, somebody's going to pay me today because this is not my problem. This is your problem. I did everything right. And to me, I feel like that is probably a little bit of an oversight of what happened throughout this process.
That's kind of like us showing up to work today. It's like, oh, no, we're still getting paid for this week. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. By the way, we want to remind everyone, since it has been a little while and we're all getting back into it, to be a part of Chanae and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, Mike Golic Jr. at Chanae. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football is back, and so is your Dr. Pepper. Loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. Now, in addition to all of the news around COVID-19 that's been making NFL life difficult in the last week, life got a little difficult in the fourth quarter last night of Thursday Night Football. The Chicago Bears take down the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Tom Brady, Janae, what if I told you in the year of our Lord 2020 that Tom bleeping Brady was going to be the guy having a Chris Webber-like clock management issue in the fourth quarter?
Oh, snap. Chris Webber-like, J.R. Smith-like. Let's hope J.R. Smith is better tonight. I think he's learned his lesson, right? So seeing that happen with Tom, I think it sort of reminds you on the flip side of his greatness, because this is a guy time and time again that it feels like it's automatically he's going to do what needs to be done and convert, especially late when it comes to downs. And the fact that he got mixed up, it can happen to anyone. And it just tough when it's happening to him at year 43. But like, and after they lose when they were 3-1, right? Like we all picked, you and I both picked on our podcast that we thought he was likely going to win that scenario. I think it's more so of a reflection of how great he's been for that mistake to even have been made. And then also, you know, you look at the 19 points they scored, they were hampered a little bit by the injuries. Mike Evans, Scotty Miller, Chris Godwin out, my fantasy player. So for that outcome, I don't want to say I'm giving it a pass, but I think it just shows the humanity of Tom Brady.
I think we're going to give him a pass in part because he's given us an outstanding meme that we've already co-opted and used on this show. The four fingers of Tom Brady being held up for the crowd are certainly going to be the gift that keeps on giving. But here was Tom Brady asked after in his post-game press conference if he realized it was fourth down.
It was 4th and 5. You took a shot. They were great.
Yeah, I knew we needed a chunk, and I was thinking about more yardage. And then, it was bad execution. And we had a great opportunity there, so just didn't execute when we needed to.
It's called chonk, Tommy. Okay.
And what do you smell? Are you smelling a lie? Sniffing.
Not sure. And Janae, you know what this is? This is a classic case of. It seems like the cover up is worse than the crime, right? Like trying to act like this wasn't the situation. And because we've been gone all week, we've got to jam about 50-11 things into this entire show. And so we're going to use this opportunity to break down some coach speak. Bruce Arians, his guy trying to have Tom Brady's back. And that's Coach Speak brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports. Here was Bruce Arians post-game. Listen to this, Jim.
Bruce, at the end of the game there, that last drive, it looked like Tom might have been confused with what down it was. Did he not know it was fourth down?
Yeah, he knew. He knew.
Okay, yeah, it's keeping it short and sweet, which is not typically the Bruce Arians special in all of this, Chanae. But you can appreciate this. We both can. You come from locker rooms. Everything, it's like, you know what it is? It's like a relationship. In public, we're all on the same page. In private, they probably got to have a conversation.
Yeah, they absolutely do, because it's like, oh, bad execution. Oh, no. He knew what the downs were. That's on you. And so I kind of appreciate this from Coach Bruce, because he's a man of many words. He could have gone on and on. One of my
And we've
songs.
Seen he's no stranger to that. He put some guys to task in the pressers earlier this season.
So I think it was clean, and I sort of wish Tom did the same. Like, just said, oh, my bad, I made a mistake late. Instead of saying, sort of talking around it, because when you talk around it, you give more people something to talk about.
Exactly. They did give us something to talk about. It was one of those situations today where I'm sure if you're Bruce Arians and you got Tom Brady, who's got more fourth quarter comebacks in that situation, more game-winning drives than any quarterback in the history of pro football, you probably, kind of like you're driving around in the self-driving car, you take your hands off the wheel for a little bit, and Tom Brady just crashed for once last night. It doesn't happen often, so we probably won't bank on it happening too much again.
I don't know if he crashed. It's sort of like his lane, just like he drifted out of lane and got auto-corrected, if this is the long-term, you know, road of his career. And producer Shannon's right. Tom Brady's pretty much a Tesla.
He is pretty much a Tesla at this point. I think it drives itself.
Renewable energy.
As you mentioned, in year 43 on this one. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. So if we are not going to figure out how we're going to lay blame on Tom Brady or Bruce Arians or anyone there, then coming up next, we can figure out if there is anything that the Miami Heat can do to start staving, because if not...
Stave, our favorite word!
Our favorite word has made a return, because if it doesn't, the prophecy is fulfilled.
Yes.
And I don't have to write anything on my bell anymore. Yes. Lakers in 5 next on Janae and Golic Jr.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, Rick Ross going to join us here. The biggest boss that you've seen thus far, fresh off apparently just lighting the world on fire on First Take, talking about LeBron blowing 3-1 leads. My man gets it. He comes ready.
Look, if I had a dedicated city fandom, which I'm dedicated to Houston, but they break my heart so much. You know, it's not like we had the LeBron James, D-Wade, Chris Bosh era. If I was as dedicated, I'd be saying the same thing. Like, speaking it to existence, because you're going to need that. You're going to need that energy, that spiritual energy tonight.
Going to need all that help. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. He's dedicated light to your city right now. You got too many NFL side teams for me to say you're all that dedicated to Houston right now, Janae.
I mean, do we look at the evidence? The evidence?
It is an overwhelming amount of evidence against them. There is no doubt. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because they have. They have burned you a time or two, and you mentioned Rick Ross and every other Heat fan is going to need a lot of help. Because right now, and it took us a while to get there, and I'll wear the hat on this one. I'll take responsibility for deviating off the Lakers in 5 path, Janae. We talked about this. I got bullied by Jimmy Butler. That happens to a lot of people,
right? Okay, that's
fair.
That's fine. It does. It happens to everybody. In the league, out of the league, Jimmy Butler wins mental games. But the thing is, the Lakers have won the strategy versus Jimmy Butler. And he hasn't had most of his guys with him. But Lakers in 5, I am willing to stand 10 toes to the ground on that. Yes.
It really is interesting now, because we're on the cusp of this. The Lakers are up on a 3-1 lead, and unless Rick Ross turns out to be right, which we know has only happened once famously on this stage, it is going to be a fourth championship for LeBron James. And this was so interesting today, and a moment of real honesty, LeBron James talking about Lakers fans and his experience coming over to this all-time franchise and what we're really on the cusp of and what a championship could mean.
Well, one, what I've learned being a Laker is that the Laker faithful don't give a damn what you've done before. Until you become a Laker, you got to do it with them as well. They don't care about your resume at all until you become a Laker, and then you got to do it as a Laker, and then they'll respect you.
Janae, you're out there in that city. You're in Los Angeles. You play for the Sparks with your sister, NECA. And you saw like I did when LeBron first got out there. We're not that far from when people were drawing over his mural in Los Angeles, because the nation of Kobe-stan did not want to see LeBron coming in and already getting these kind of accolades. How far does a championship go for LeBron James in this city and this fan base?
I mean, that's all they want. That's the one thing that they want. It's great to have LeBron James, one of the greatest of all time, but they don't care if he's that, if he doesn't deliver a championship. That's just the standard, championships out here. And the best way I learned this, obviously, is playing for the Los Angeles Sparks. I come here and I started realizing, dang, are we the only city that every fan, no matter what city you go to, they already have a coordinated cheer against you? Be LA. Every arena that I've gone to across the country, and then I've seen the same thing following the Lakers across the country. They are in unison. That's what Max Kellerman was discussing on First Take today. Like, Lakers envy, in the sense that it's pretty much the Lakers at times when they're dominant versus the field. The field is rooting against them instead of, you know, it was fun to see the Raptors win last year and see the Warriors in the beginning of their run. Like, it's like, oh, we have a lot of people to root for. But when the Lakers win, it's everyone, there is envy. And I think it's rightfully so, because they've proven as an organization to do it time and time again, you know, rival to the Boston organization as well. So LeBron James knows what it is. He knows that as great as he is as a player, he has to deliver a championship, and he's one game away.
And it's so interesting to me, Chiney, because for so often, like with Los Angeles sports fans in general, they get this reputation of being the come late, leave early fans, right? In a lot of instances, because there's other stuff to do in Los Angeles.
That
obviously
is true.
Not as much now before, yeah. but the Lakers fan base, especially when it comes to the late Kobe Bryant, is certainly a rabid fan base, one that defends their heroes to the hilt. And this franchise has so many of them that now you see the talk of where LeBron James fits in all time with this. All these conversations start up that go in to depending on what happens with Finals MVP as it comes up potentially tonight in a closeout situation where, by the way, LeBron James 3-0 in his NBA Finals career in games with a chance to clinch a series. With a win in Game 5, he'd be the first player with four wins without a loss in such situations. But our own Jeff Van Gundy was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning and says, we probably just need to give them more credit for even getting here to begin with.
It's really interesting where LeBron James goes. No one gets credit. You know, like when LeBron James went to Miami, the Miami front office was given a lot of credit for that. When LeBron James went to L.A., no one gave Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka a lot of credit, you know. And I think Rob Pelinka wasn't given a lot of credit for the Anthony Davis trade or the veterans he signed. I mean, I think the Lakers, because they have such expectations to win, their fan base is so used to winning, even though they've been in a drought here for a while previous to this season. I just think that the people that play with, that coach, and that try to assemble a roster around LeBron James, their contributions are often overlooked.
And Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Janae, that does always seem to be the case. And even as we talk about the Finals MVP conversation we're going to have in a little bit, I feel like it all happens because we've so normalized LeBron's greatness. Like, this isn't even the MVP regular season conversation we have. This is now the body of work he's put together in the postseason where these stat lines are expected.
It's not only just LeBron's greatness. I think Jeff Van Gundy's absolutely correct. Their success sort of masks over the individual work and the puzzle pieces that had to come together perfectly for this to all work out. And he highlighted a few. When my sister was with the Sparks, before I joined the Sparks, owner is Magic Johnson, and he's been a mentor to me on and off the court. And just knowing that this was a part of his vision of giving back to the game, bringing the Lakers back. I know it's taken some bumps and bruises along the way with his pathway, but now just seeing that work come to fruition. All right, you get LeBron, and then you have Rob Pelinka, who, by the way, I know this is an emotional time for him considering he was so close to Kobe Bryant. And so for me, when I was in L.A., or I'd come to L.A. when I was in Connecticut, I actually had the opportunity to sit with Rob Pelinka. And in the middle of the transition of power between Magic and Rob, this is a guy that has seemed like rock steady and firm on his vision, very similar to how Kobe Bryant is, like, firm on what he needs to accomplish. And these guys were best friends and truly family. And I'd also like to give love to Jeannie Buss, because when I go to the Lakers games, I often see her. And to be a female executive, a female owner in this business, and then to also feel the pressure of the Lakers organization on top of all of this, like, they've been in the middle of the eye of the tornado. And they've been able to remain calm, go through these transitional periods, build a crazy talented roster, and now they're one step away from winning another championship, where a lot of steps along the way, they've risked it all with when it came to personnel and decision-making. We're seeing one of the small risks come to fruition with KCP and how he's playing in the finals. So all these pieces, all these people deserve credit. I know everyone feels like they've won championships when Lakers win championships. Again, Miami Heat might have something to say about it, but still, overall, this is a huge accomplishment, and it takes the people to put the players in place to win.
It is a major accomplishment, but you said the Miami Heat still might have something to say about this. So while we've been chanting Lakers in five, coming up next, we had someone make a very different prediction earlier today. We'll see if he's sticking with it. As Rick Ross joins us next here, it's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwumike. I think this song's like a decade old at this point.
Look, this song is in my all-time top 10, and yes, we can fight about it.
Listen, you're not going to get any argument from me. especially considering who is about to join us on the Shell Penzo performance line, because right now, coming in hot's brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. And we are delighted to be joined by rapper, overall mogul, Rick Ross, Miami sports fan extraordinaire also. And Rick, we appreciate the time today. You kind of lit up the sports world earlier today on First Take, talking about the Lakers were going to blow a 3-1 lead and the Heat were going to come back. Are you still standing by this one a few hours later?
Of course I am. Why wouldn't I? We're underdog champions. We're being led by Jimmy Jesus, a.k.a. Jimmy Buckets. We've been the underdogs. They told us we wouldn't make it to the playoffs. Not only are we in the finals, but we making them boys work. We know they the all-stars, but we're starving. It's a difference.
Speaking of Jimmy Buckets, I know this is a guy you know, and I know a lot of people in Miami were really excited when he landed there. You have experience knowing these guys' game, whether it's Jimmy Butler or Dwayne Wade. Do you have any interesting experiences with them that you're like, they part of the family? And I should have probably been like, they're part of the family.
Yeah, most definitely. And when you speak of the world famous, it was one time we had a party. Pat Riley was out. Everybody was on stage, and Jimmy actually came on stage and tried to do the Rick Ross grunt, and he couldn't pull it off. But I brought him in his family anyway, so that's my brother anyway. That's my little bro.
Wait, so how was mine? How was mine?
Let me hear it one more time. You got potential. You got potential.
Co-signed by the boss.
We got real potential on this show. Chiney Agumake, Mike Golick Jr. talking to rapper Rick Ross with us. Again, working on his 11th studio album, Richer Than I've Ever Been. But you mentioned Pat Riley was at that party. He seems so effortlessly cool from the outside. What is he like when you get him in that situation, that circle?
Oh, that's most definitely what the homie is. He's totally comfortable. You know what I mean? Laid back, relaxed. We done had a lot of wonderful conversations. Just talking about, you know, me being courtside at the game, screaming, La Spoelstra, Nostra. You know, that at that same party was my first time asking Coach Eric Spoelstra, did he used to hear me? Did he ever hear, you know, La Spoelstra, Nostra, you know? And, of course, he told me he did hear me a few times, you know. And it was, you know, they just some cool guys, man. You know, that's the best front office you can have for a club, straight up and down.
Here with Rick Ross, the boss, rapper, Heat fan, and the artist that I'd like to say again is in my all-time top 10 for Aston Martin.
That's
music.
Right,
that's
baby. That's right.
You already know here on Chiney and Golick Jr. Now, Rick, it's really interesting if you think about this team, because this team has really competed toe-to-toe as best as they can, given the injuries, with the Lakers. Now, you're rooting for the Heat, but you have to respect the King, too. What's your take on what LeBron James is doing so far this season?
I love what LeBron does. I understand his value. I understand his court IQ. I understand what he brings to the game. Even if it's a night where he's not scoring 40, I know how he understands how to draw that attention from others and allow them to shut them down. He'll entertain two and three people tripling him to shut him down just for others to shine. So I understand what the homie bring to the table. And once again, he back at the finals. That speaks for itself. You understand? So, but, you know, game three, we saw a lot of potential in Jimmy Jesus. And that's what we can expect to see tonight.
Talking to Rick Ross with us here on Chiney and Golick Jr. Again, working on his 11th studio album, Richer Than I've Ever Been. And we've talked so much about all these athletes, Rick, and what they've overcome, how they've had to stay engaged and still strive for all this excellence in the midst of everything going on in this pandemic. So you're working on an 11th album. You've had so much success already. How have you managed to kind of keep it together, stay motivated, and stay active like this with everything going on, all the unrest in the world?
Well, you already know, man. First and foremost, you know, we got to commend, you know, just everybody that's pushing through the pandemic, everybody that's pushing through what's going on as far as just in the culture, what's going on in the streets. But a lot of times for real leaders, we don't have a choice. We don't have an option. We're going to keep winning. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep working. We're going to keep driving. And that's what it's about. And for the players that's still keeping it at that high, at that high point, that's why they, you know, they where they are. That's the only reason. When you see players like LeBron, when you see Jimmy Buckets, and when you see these young dudes, regardless if they coming out of college, regardless if they just getting established at a first club, you got to step up to the plate right now and understand these people putting, you know, fans, we putting a team on your back and we expect to go. That's what I love when I watch T-Ro play. He pull that damn trick and he going to shoot. Bah! I love it.
It really is incredible. How cool is it, by the way, watching Tyler Hero? He seems like he's a 20-year-old guy playing in the NBA Finals, but seems like he's got more swag than most grown men. How do you identify that in someone young and coming up when you just know they got it like that?
Oh, sometimes you just feel it. You know, some things don't even need to be explained, and that's what the homie bring to the table. But it's time for him to sit down with Ricky Rozelle, get him some lemon pepper wings from Stop, and I might have to get him a set of gold teeth, baby.
I was going to say, wait, Rick, we do have to bring this up because did I just see in the news that you flew to Colombia just to get your teeth done up and done right? Is that true? You were out here balling that hard?
Oh, I did. The boss did it. I flew out to Cali, Colombia. It was such a beautiful experience. One time for Dr. Mario, for my beautiful smile, but just the country of Cali, Colombia, the dinner, you know, just the plate of food I had. Just the sightseeing, it was a wonderful trip, and my smile is impeccable. I wish you could see it now.
I wish we could see it too, because I have no doubt you're gonna go the extra mile for all this. Again, the 11th studio album titled "Richer Than I've Ever Been." So I'm curious, like, what's the most ballin' thing Rick Ross has done this summer when it comes to going out, spending on something lavish, extravagant that would make the rest of us realize exactly who we're dealing with here?
Man, I'm going to be honest. When I think of my album titled Richer Than I Ever Been, it's much deeper than money. But one of the experiences I had in the last few weeks was I wanted to surprise my mom. Because I wanted to surprise my mom, so I got up. It would have been a 5-hour drive. I got up. Our tire blew out an hour into the ride. Boom. We pulled over, had the truck towed. We started over, went back home. We pushed the reset button and drove out again. I made sure I surprised my mom just to get that kiss on the cheek. And me, man, you can't get no richer than that.
That truer words never spoken. It is.
Look, I'm gonna drop a snowflake for all the positive energy in your DMs, Rick Ross, because you really spread a lot of good energy and light for so many people, your mom included. But we just want to show love from Chiney and Golic Jr. for joining us today.
Oh, it's too easy. Anytime you need the ball, it's done.
Absolutely. We appreciate the time. Check him out, as always. Again, that 11th studio album he's working on entitled Richer Than I've Ever Been. Our own Cassidy Hubbard showed some love. Her Hype Hits Takeover, she launched it, and she has Hustlin' by Rick Ross on that list.
Oh,
obviously,
classic.
An all-time classic. The Hits Takeover is a series of playlists curated by talent, athletes, and artists, and an extension of the Hype Hits brand. So be sure to check that out. Incredible stuff from Rick Ross. We'll certainly have plenty to say on that. But coming up next, plenty to say, as Rick Ross said, on some pretty deep, important, impactful subjects from our own Ryan Smith, who's going to join us next here on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Igwumike. And we're delighted to be now to be joined on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by our ESPN legal analyst, Ryan Smith, who is playing a big part this weekend in something great that the Undefeated is doing here. They're presenting a special that's going to air October 11th at 5 p.m. Eastern called The Stop, Living, Driving, and Dying While Black. And again, Sunday, October 11th, 5 p.m. Eastern. It's a one-hour television special. It's going to examine experiences Black Americans have had with law enforcement, the long-lasting impact of these, an unbelievable guest list that you guys have dialed up. Ryan, and I know within that, Ryan, there's also the talk, a conversation about the conversation that Black parents have to often have with their kids about dealing with law enforcement. I have to imagine that in particular, as someone like yourself who is a Black father, had to be pretty emotional. Mm-hmm.
It was so, I got to tell you, Mike, it was so striking, especially hearing, you know, the thing that stood out to me is, and I think people will really see this when they watch the show, sometimes there's an assumption that when you make a lot of money or if you're a big name and you get stopped by police, you're sort of exempt from the fear or the anxiety you might feel when police are asking you to do stuff and you're black. And what really will strike you is whether it's Stephen A., whether it's Chauncey Billups, Maria Taylor, Ryan Clark, or anyone, they're sharing the same kind of experiences that I've gone through, that I've had friends tell me they've gone through. It is it is something that exists among so many of us in the black community, women and men, this sense of anxiety when interacting with police, whether you're in your car or on the street. And when you hear the emotional stories they have of having to act a certain way and tell their kids to act a certain way, with cops watching them, with the kids watching them, it's harrowing. And I got to tell you guys, it's like I got 6-year-old twins, and once things started happening around this country, once George Floyd died and Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and all those stories started coming out, we had to start talking to them about what it meant to be stopped and what they might see if I ever get stopped or if my wife gets stopped. To a 6-year-old, I never thought I would be in that place. But I am, and so are so many of our colleagues and athletes that we watch on TV. And you'll see those stories when you watch this weekend.
Here with Ryan Smith, our own ESPN legal analyst on Chené and Golic Jr. He hosts a variety of shows all over ESPN. And, you know, now he will be hosting the Stop television special via the Undefeated 5 Eastern this Sunday. And Ryan, you know, one thing that we pride ourselves on, especially here on Chené and Golic Jr., is that we have conversations straight out of the locker room, safe spaces, necessary conversations. And I think a lot of people these days sort of wonder, where is this intersection of society and sports mattering in the general dialogue? Can you sort of explain how athletes are here? I know you'll talk to a number in a roundtable that are a part of your production. The importance of sports in this dialogue and why it all ties together.
Yeah, it all ties together, Chené, because when athletes talk, people listen. When you talk, people listen. It makes a difference to people. And I think that there was this narrative a couple of years ago of, why are our athletes talking so much about these issues? Why? Why does that matter? We're here to watch the games. It matters because they're human beings. It matters because, shock of all shocks for a lot of fans out there, these athletes are getting pulled over and stopped and talked to. These people that you think they would be known everywhere in the world, they're getting stopped and talked to and threatened and feeling threatened in ways people would not imagine. That's why it's so important to speak out about this. The other part of this is, I think people sometimes miss the idea that when athletes are speaking out, they're speaking on behalf of their communities, whether that's a community from another country, whether that's black community, other communities in this country, they're speaking on behalf of the community. If athletes are some of our most important, most well-known people in society, especially in the black community, why shouldn't they be speaking out for the black community? Why shouldn't they be trying to facilitate change? And that's one of the things we really wanted to sort of talk about in this special. The idea of athletes are speaking out, how they're speaking out, and what they're trying to do to actually facilitate specific change. How that speaking out can lead to an actual change in the way black folks interact with police, and making sure those interactions are not the negative ones that we have been seeing time and again in this country.
Ryan, I'm curious, as you went through this and you had, as Chené mentioned, a number of people you guys were speaking to, but mm-hmm. I saw the panel with Chris Paul, Michelle Roberts, the you know, president of the NBA PA. I'm curious, what kind of thoughts did you get from them as they looked back on the stoppage of play in the NBA bubble, even returning to play in general as they near crowning a champion now in that league?
Oh, it was amazing, Mike. A couple things I'll mention, and I really want people to check it out because they take us inside what it was like to make the decision, and Michelle Roberts takes us inside what it was like to go back. What was interesting was the sense of, I think there was this narrative that once the Milwaukee Bucks shut it down, everybody followed through, but there was some discord about whether to stop. I got the sense that there was very much unity among NBA players to say, hey, we've got to act, and we're not going to get caught up in who went first or any of that. We have to act because it's the right thing to do. And then the coming back to it, Michelle Roberts really does share this idea that the players felt like, you know what, this is the stand we can take. We've gotten some meaningful traction. We can go back, but we can keep our foot on the gas in terms of really getting things done. So that was really interesting to me. But Mike, the other part of this is, we talked to them and to Judy Smith, who is a political operator, about what happens from here. And you will really be astounded at the way NBA players are thinking about change in politics, how they're thinking about voting, how they're thinking about actually getting into specific changes to impact communities and not just making it about saying, hey, we want justice. That's important. Hey, we want to talk about these issues. That's important. But without the specific change, then you end up not getting exactly what you want. And what I thought was really fascinating, and I really want people to watch when they watch this weekend, is the way athletes and the way influencers and the way political operatives are saying, this is what everybody needs to do next. This is what we're focused on.
5 o'clock Eastern, Sunday, October 11th, The Stop, Living, Driving, and Dying While Black. You can see Ryan Smith, our ESPN legal analyst, and the myriad of incredible guests that they have got holding it down on that. An unbelievable effort by everyone involved, yourself and the undefeated. Ryan, we're looking forward to watching this weekend. Thanks for the time, Ryan.
Hey, guys.
Incredible stuff. Really looking forward to hearing more from Ryan and everyone else. Make sure you check that out Sunday. But coming up next, we got to figure out who is taking home the hardware and who gets the finals MVP if the Lakers win. That's next here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.